Il-program li ser tisimgħu huwa miġjublilkom bix-xewqa t-tajba tar-rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jippreżenta Il-Balomba, program li jagħti ħarsa lejn l-aħħar żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni Jasmine Saliba.
Rodwa tajba jina Jasmine Saliba, nsemmilkom għakom għal-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-Balomba l-aħħar, programm li għandna f'din essenzjela. Programm li se jitratta numru ta' suġġetti. Nibdew bl-ewwel suġġett, ovvjament il-Kunsell Summit tal-Unjoni Ewropea li ddiskuta numru ta' aspetti fl-aħħar ġralet mill-migrazzjoni għas situazzjoni dwar il-vaċin, il-kwistjoni tal-ċertifikat tal-COVID u anke l-istess pandemija. Nisimgħu l-kummenti li ta' il-President tal-Kunsell li laqgħa flimkien il-mexxija tal-istati membri tal-Unjoni Ewropea Charles Michel fit-tmiem dan is-summit wara li ġi fit-tmiemu u kien hemm id-deċiżjonijiet li ttieħdu fosthom anke diskussjonijiet fit-tul dwar ser jiġri anke mill-ftuħ tal-frontieri bejn il-pajjiżi u ma' pajjiżi terzi.
We have just published before we start our indicative leaders agenda for 2021-2022, so please check that out on our website. And I first give the floor to the President of the European Council.
Merci, merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much. Now let me start off by warmly thanking Antonio Costa and the whole of his teams for having achieved their presidency with a very successful presidency with many files where significant progress was made in a difficult context, a lot of cooperation between the institutions, and this really does show how the EU can work in a very committed manner, in a very friendly manner as well. So, Antonio, I would like to thank you for your full cooperation. Now, this weekend, there's going to be a little football match, a confrontation, but it's going to be hopefully on the sporting front and not a political event. Now, the European Council, as you know, we had to tackle a number of issues, some of them difficult issues, but we also had one issue which was not on the agenda, but where we had to have a discussion. So I decided to open up a discussion on the LGBTI plus in the context of legislation in Hungary. This was a difficult discussion. And at one point it was rather difficult, I have to say, but it was necessary to talk about this. And it was an emotional issue as well, because it's something which is linked to our beliefs and what we feel and think about one another, and it's linked to fundamental freedom. So that's why this whole discussion was crucial. And it was certainly an opportunity for us to listen to one another, and for the Hungarian Prime Minister to hear what a number of colleagues had to say round the table. I referred to European rule of law, the European project, primacy of European law, and also a démarche from the Commission linked to this situation, and I hope that this conference on the future of Europe will be a useful opportunity for us to take forward these beliefs in terms of our fundamental rights, which are at the very core of our European project. It's a human adventure for us, first and foremost, and it's something which brings us all together. Now, let me have a look at the various points which we discussed. I'll be very brief on some of these because you have seen the conclusions.
Antonio Guterres, this was an important moment in order to reaffirm our belief that the multilateral approach is the best way in order to address the global challenges of the world. It was also the occasion to reaffirm the strong partnership between the UN and the EU, and we intend to strengthen this very strong partnership. We had the opportunity to address many topics, some global challenges like climate change, like health, COVID-19, migration, but of course we had also the opportunity to address some geopolitical challenges. Then we had the opportunity again to discuss COVID-19 and to have an exchange of views about this pandemic we are facing. Three important points very quickly. First one, mobility. How is it possible to coordinate, to cooperate, especially when we face new variants and new mutants? Second topic, international solidarity. We had the opportunity in the past to reaffirm our commitments in order to demonstrate our effective international solidarity, and then the question of the lessons learned based on the report put on the table by the Commission. This is an important, a useful, an interesting, a strong starting point, and with the Slovenian presidency we intend to work on that in order to be able by the end of the year to try to be more concrete. What are the deliverables that we will decide and agree on. Un mot rapidement sur la question de la migration.
Let me say something about migration. We didn't have a very lengthy discussion in the room on this topic because it had been prepared by our teams and by ambassadors, so we were able to reach an agreement on operational conclusions very quickly, and we focused mostly on the external dimension for the EU. And we asked the Commission and the High Representative to work on concrete proposals and the identification of priority countries, countries of origin and transit, for which we would use all the instruments we have available at a European level, and also working with member states who are most involved. And then in the course of our dinner, we looked at certain international issues. Now, in Turkey, perhaps Ursula would like to say a little bit more about that. We adopted conclusions on Belarus, on Ethiopia, on the Sahel, on Libya. If there are any questions, of course, we will react to your questions. And once again, we had a discussion on Russia. Now, we had a very useful discussion before, and we tried to take an important step forward to see what we want to do regarding the five principles governing our relationship with Russia. So we stressed the importance of implementing our agreements and stressed the need to adopt sanctions, and we looked at the various options in terms of restrictive measures, and also the importance of engaging in people-to-people contacts to engage with Russian civil society and to support our values and our fundamental rights, as we've done over the past few months and years. And we repeated our commitment vis-à-vis the Eastern Partnership, and before the end of the year we will be having a summit of the Eastern Partnership too.
Oare să mai dau comente ta Charles Michel, să mă dau cu ta al prezident al Comisiunii Europene, Ursula von der Leyen, fit members des summit.
Yes, thank you so much. So let me also start by thanking you, Antonio, for an incredibly successful presidency. And thank you very much for all the work you've done, you and your team. This is amazing. But also you personally, how skillfully you steered the whole process. You will certainly describe the many, many fields where you achieved a lot, but I just want to highlight within this pandemic three topics which would not have been as successful as they are without you and your presidency. And this is, on one hand, the vaccine strategy. I remember very well that you said we have to start together on the 27th of December, and we did it. We went through all the difficulties together. This is where you see whether there is a team or not, when you go through the difficulties. And now we can harvest the success together. The second point is the EU certificate. Record time in which it has been ready. Now 26 member states are connected so far, and it's ready to go for the 1st of July. And of course then the economic recovery, Next Generation EU, here to record time for the own resources decision to be taken in 5 months, or ratified in 5 months. Normally, if you look back to the other own resources decisions to be ratified, it takes about 2 years on average. So you did it in 5 months. Obrigada. Let me explain or comment a bit on what we have been discussing. Indeed, we started with COVID. And as usual, the state of play for the vaccine deliveries and vaccination. We are almost at the end of quarter two. By the end of the week, we will have delivered over 424 million doses. By thus, we exceed our delivery targets for quarter two. And we will have, by the end of the week, almost 60% of adults in the European Union that have received at least one dose. And we will have almost 40% that will be fully vaccinated. This is a big step forward, but it is also necessary because we are worried about the Delta variant. If you look at the UK, there the Delta variant is by now the dominant one. 90% of the infections are the Delta variant. It is rapidly progressing, also speeding up here. The good news in that is that we see that the vaccination protects. Double vaccination protects very effectively against the Delta variant, and single vaccination or single shot at the beginning gives at least a reduction of severe illness. But with this Delta variant, we need to stay vigilant. We need to stay very coordinated where restrictive measures are concerned. The typical things like masks and distance have to stay in place. And we need to vaccinate. That's the best strategy against these variants. We have looked at the lessons learned, and I will not go in detail because the whole report is there, but leaders came out very supportive of the Commission's proposals, so now we're going to implement what we have seen as weaknesses or where we should step forward together in the health sector. Let me take the topic of today right here, because we have looked at the lessons learned from the pandemic, and there we've seen, because we've never had a pandemic before, we had no tools in place, we had no structures in place, it was all ad hoc. That was different on the economic field. We had the experience, the bad experience of the financial crisis 10 years, a decade ago. And here we had tools in place that we've been using rapidly and swiftly. That is, at the beginning, liquidity for the paralyzed economy through the lockdowns, the general escape clause, the flexibilization of EU funds, the state aid. Almost 3 trillion of liquidity was offered. Then we had the bridging part of 550 billion, one part of it is the sure element with 100 billion, and now the recovery with 750 billion next generation EU. Here we look today at the national plans. We have now 24 national plans submitted. 12 of those are approved. There too, I want to thank you, Antonio, because you have been pushing hard that we are fast. Of course, it is needed in our economies. And yes, till the end of the month and till the end of your presidency, you will have reached your goal that there is a good chunk of plans approved, ready to go. If we look at the plans, they all include a significant subset of country-specific recommendations, that is reforms, and a lot of investment. If we look at our targets, all plans meet or overshoot the target of investing 20% in the digital. The same goes for the green, 37%. At least they meet it, if not a lot of them overshoot it, and that is good. So we will have an investment of at least 200 billion euros in green measures, just to name a few topics. But there's also a strong investment in the social dimension, so youth employment, childcare, higher education, healthcare, just to name a few topics. It is now for the Council to adopt the plans in the next, or those who are approved in the next 4 weeks. And then we are ready to disperse because we have launched the bond issuance program already last week. It was very successful. We have raised 20 billion euros with a maturity of 10 years, and it was 7 times oversubscribed, which shows the trust and the confidence of the markets in Next Generation EU and in the European Union. Let me move on to The second topic, Turkey. Overall, the relations with Turkey have improved recently. There is a de-escalation in the Eastern Mediterranean. There are talks between Turkey and Greece, and that's a good starting point. But on the other hand, we still see little, if no, progress made on Cyprus, and this remains disappointing. We have engaged since March with Turkey, in particular on trade and the topic of the Syrian refugees. First on trade, Turkey has taken steps to address some irritants, like, for example, the certificates of origin, and we encourage Turkey to do more. On our side, things have moved too. Discussions on the mandate for negotiations on the modernization of the customs unions have restarted in Council, but there is still a lot of work to do. On the topic of Syrian refugees in the region, we have already made clear that we will continue supporting Turkey and other partners in the region like Jordan or Lebanon, which host millions of Syrian refugees. It is now 10 years into the Syrian conflict, and the region still carries the lion's share of the burden. And it is in our collective European interest to protect the refugees and to support their hosts, mainly in these difficult times with COVID and very difficult economic times. Therefore, we always show that we have supported in the past and we plan to support in the future. We plan to allocate an additional 3 billion euro to support refugees in Turkey until 2024. This money will come entirely from the EU budget, and it will focus more on the socio-economic support to refugees, no more so much on the plain, pure emergency assistance, because these refugees live now since years in the region and they need a perspective for the coming years. And in addition, we will support Turkey to manage migration at its eastern border. At the same time, the Commission will also provide 2.2 billion euro until 2024 to support Syrian refugees in Jordan and in Lebanon, and we have invited member states to contribute with further funding. Leaders have supported this strategic package. Now we will, as a Commission, work on a legal proposal and put that on the table. The third subject was Russia. Indeed, we agreed on a united, long-term and strategic European approach based on the report that was presented last week. As the report details out, we are right now in a negative spiral and we need to brace for further downturn. So we agreed to push back when Russia targets the European Union and what we stand for when it violates human rights, to constrain Russia when it attempts to undermine our interests, and we will engage Russia when it is in our interest to do so to achieve our goals, for example, if we talk about climate change or if we talk about public health. We have a position of strength because if you look at the economic relationship, you see that Russia represents less than 5% of goods that are being imported to the European Union. But if you look at the reverse import, the European Union is Russia's biggest trade partner, and we account for more than 37% of the import to Russia. And this imbalance is likely to grow as Russia's economy is built on oil and gas. It's 25% of its GDP. But the world is moving away from fossil fuels, and Russia will have to adapt its economy. While in the European Union, with the European Green Deal, we enhance our resilience in going more and more into renewables. Last but not least, as Charles said, we had an intense and very frank discussion about values. This discussion was needed. It was a factual discussion, and it was a very personal and emotional discussion at the same time.
Tema ora ricorrente all'Unione Europea e al questioni Duar el Asam Osaka fuq il-post ta' xogħol, riforma, tibdiliet, anka fid-dawl ta' tibdiliet li ġabet magħha il-pandemija u il-mod kif ġie stis u adattat il-post ta' xogħol sa' sitra għal ħafna fidjarhom. Nisimgħu il-Kummissarju Schmidt dwar dak li hu maħsub li jkun hemm indirizzat f'din il-politika ġdida dwar is-saħħa u s-sigurtà fuq il-post ta' xogħol.
Thank you very much, Valdis. Good afternoon, everybody. As you said already, health and safety at work is a big responsibility for employers, for employees, for workers, and for public authorities. And it has been since the beginning of the European Economic Community one of the basic elements of social policy, first to protect the workers, but also to create common standards, not to base competition on the low level of health and safety. And therefore, there is a need for adapting constantly, as the Vice President has just said, our standards in health and safety, because technology changes, our knowledge about the nature of different substances is also increasing. And therefore, this is an important moment to propose a new framework. This framework is based also on Principle 10 of the European Pillar of Social Rights that clearly states that workers have the right to a high level of protection of their health and safety at work. And therefore, we have also reserved to this element a very important place in our action plan. The COVID-19 pandemic has shown how crucial health and safety at work is for protecting workers' health, for the functioning of our society, and for the continuity of critical economic and social activities. Therefore, the road to recovery of our economies must also include a renewed commitment to keep occupational safety and health at the forefront. The importance of occupational health and safety was stressed in both the Porto Declaration signed by EU leaders and the Porto Social Commitment signed by the EU institutions, social partners and civil society. And having attended last week a G20 ministerial on employment and labour, this has become now also, as you said already, an international issue. Everybody becomes aware that health and safety has also an important economic dimension. You have mentioned it. The cost of accidents, of diseases, occupational diseases, represent about 3.3% of GDP, which is European GDP. So this is quite an amount of money, and we can do something about and reduce this, not just for the persons, but also for economic interests. In the last 30 years, we have seen, indeed, significant progress in occupational safety and health in Europe. For example, when it comes to accidents between 1994 and 2018, fatal accidents at work in the EU have decreased by about 70%. However, despite this progress, there were still more than 3,300 fatal accidents in the EU in 2018. So there is more work to be done, and this is exactly what we are doing today. The new Occupational Safety and Health Strategic Framework has three main objectives. First, anticipating and managing change in the new world of work, particularly thinking about the impact of the digital, green, and demographical transitions. Second, improving prevention of work-related accidents and illnesses. And third, increasing preparedness for any potential future health crisis. Let me give a few examples of the actions we are going to take under each of the strands mentioned. Firstly, our ways of working are changing, with increased digitalization and more of the population working remotely. We require new and updated solutions. And to that end, we will modernize the Workplaces Directive and the Display Screen Equipment Directive and continue the important work started on the ergonomic risks. However, it is not just workers' physical well-being we have to protect. We must also look after their mental health that has been severely affected by the pandemic. Even before the pandemic, mental health problems affected around 48 million people in the EU. Half of the EU workers consider stress to be common in their workplace, and stress contributes to around half of all lost working days. Nearly 80% of managers asked are concerned about work-related stress. So this is an issue we have to do something about. But this is an issue social partners have to do something about too. And also we will, as it is clearly said in the framework, ensure appropriate follow-up to the European Parliament resolution on the right to disconnect, because this is also one of the issues linked to mental health problems. The Commission will prepare an EU-level initiative by the end of next year related to mental health at work. It will assess emerging issues and put forward guidance for action. As implementation begins on several initiatives under the European Green Deal, we also want to make sure occupational safety and health is up to date with the green transition. The current limit values of certain hazardous substances need to be reviewed. To that end, we will focus on lead and cobalt, two hazardous substances frequently used in renewable energy technologies and in battery production, as well as on asbestos. Exposure to asbestos may indeed become a health risk factor in the renovation wave, so we need to remain ahead of the game to prevent ill health. Under the prevention strand of the framework, we will promote the Vision Zero, already mentioned, approach to eliminate work-related death. Even one death at work is one too many. Recent terrible events in Antwerp go to show that we need to redouble our efforts. The Commission will also update EU rules on hazardous chemicals to combat cancer, as well as reproductive and respiratory diseases. Cancer is, as you will read also in our document, cancer is the leading cause of work-related death in the EU, with 52% of all work-related death, which means 100,000 occupational deaths every year. These fatalities can be reduced and should be, if possible, avoided. And this needs very decisive action to eliminate this occupational death. And here is prevention is certainly one of the key approaches. And we have to link also this policy very much to our EU's combating cancer strategy, because we cannot try to combat cancer on one hand and know that certain substances are increasing the cancer risk and not react in that context. The Commission will develop emergency procedures and guidance for the rapid deployment of measures in the future. It is also important to support workers who have been infected by COVID-19 and the families who have lost loved ones because of exposure to the virus at work. To that end, we will update the Commission recommendation on occupational diseases by 2022 to include COVID-19. It is now for Member States to update their national occupational safety and health plans in line with our new framework, in cooperation with the social partners, and make sure that the rules are properly enforced. A lot depends on good enforcement, which means also adequate control mechanisms. Like this, we will fulfill the promise of Principle 19, And I think that health and safety is a very important part of an economy that works for people.
Bekni ġu fitmim l-edizzjoni il-Balomba, jina ġazmin sa' jiban sammi u kom l-awkuralkum il-komplement tal-jum il-tajjeb.
Għadkom kem smajtu il-Balomba, produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' ġazmin Saliba. Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.